You're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. I'm Kenny Shook.
I think healthcare is an important issue because it really affects one's quality of life. There are many people who have to sacrifice even meals in order to pay for healthcare. And then there are people who are not covered, which affects all of us. I believe that we need a universal healthcare. It doesn't make sense that we are the wealthiest nation on this earth, yet not everyone has healthcare.
People's Tribune Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, who also publishes the newspaper People's Tribune, Tribuno del Pueblo. Ordering and contact information will be provided later in the show. Today's program focuses on healthcare. Why is healthcare so important to Americans? Should healthcare in the United States really be viewed as a commodity? Is it possible to restructure the U.S. healthcare system? Our guest is a public healthcare nurse in Oakland, California, who speaks to us about the historical changes in the concept of healthcare. She belongs to the California Nurses Association and the Labor Party. Our guest, Joyce Mills, also works with many Oakland, California organizations in the struggle against poverty and for justice. I was fortunate enough to sit down with Joyce Mills and speak to her about healthcare in Chicago. Healthcare is an interesting topic. How are you fighting for healthcare in the political realm?
Well, I think the organizations that we're in all have different levels of engagement in that battle. For instance, in this latest grocery strike that we had in California, thousands and thousands of low-income working people really had to stay out on strike for a long, long period of time to just get a basic right to health care. And this is in a country, of course, where health care is tied to jobs. So unlike other countries in the world, this is a particular problem that we have, which is we've never been able to even have a system, even in the past period of time when things were going better, where health care was able to be provided whether you had a job or not. So these are people who ostensibly should be able to get some level of health care, who in fact have had in this period of time to stay out for a long time on strike, largely around the issue of health care, and ended up with a resolution that they themselves feel very unsatisfied with. I mean, there's a two-tier agreement, and the vast majority of new people coming into the grocery situation are going to get a much less satisfactory health care. And it's certainly in the California Nurse Association and the organizations we're in, we do a lot of work to guarantee that not only nurses, the people that are in the union, have access to health care, which of course they don't. They don't have access when they're retired and so on and so on. But that we also play a social advocacy role, given the fact that we see the concrete results of people being disabled and dying from lack of access of health care, that we can play an advocacy role in the bigger social movement around health reform.
And is there some direct campaigns that are playing that social advocacy role?
Well, I think this is where the Labor Party comes in partly. I mean, certainly the unions and social organizations that are concerned about health reform or any other aspect of social reform play a critical role themselves, just because of what they're able to do in fighting for people's rights and being able to promote the idea that people have rights and that they can develop, you know, some of the muscle, quite frankly, that's needed to get that done. But I think the other aspect to it is really purely political. I mean, I think this Just Healthcare campaign, which really was one of the first campaigns and a leading campaign that was developed by the Labor Party, CNA and other organizations that came together to form the Labor Party, really wanted to guarantee that as a part of a program, and of course the Labor Party's program includes all kinds of aspects of social life. It includes the right to jobs at a fair wage. It includes the question of the right to higher education and health care. So it's a part of a programmatic approach, political programmatic approach. But I think the reason that Just Health Care was important is because while some other aspects of the social movement are still separated into those that pretty much have an intact ability to get some things and the rest of society that isn't, that something like healthcare really has crossed those boundaries. I mean, you have not only folks that don't have jobs and don't have access to healthcare, but even for those of us that do have traditionally have access, that we're losing that access, and we're losing it not just in terms of access to insurance, but access to care. Even if you have insurance, if the local community hospital, which is where all emergencies go, is underfunded, doesn't matter if you have insurance or not, in an emergency you're not getting care. And I think certainly in terms of, as nurses, we see the destruction from the inside of the healthcare system, where nurses are being asked to take more and more patients, where, you know, doctors are able to only see people for 15 minutes. And those are the things that the unions have had to fight. So we've taken those into the Just Healthcare campaign to really promote a solution to those problems that can be achieved in the country, you know, with the current resources that we have and the current ability, scientific ability that we have.
It sounds like, or a lot of people have described the situation of healthcare today as a crisis, and you kind of touched on that a little bit with the underfunded of hospitals and consolidation of healthcare within these insurance companies. I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question we have to ask is, if we have a technological ability to provide medical care, and of course I want to make a distinction between simply medical care and health care. Medical care is an extremely expensive, an intensive part of health care, but health care is a broader kind of need. If we have a technologically advanced medical system that has, you know, developed extremely useful pharmaceuticals, has developed an ability to diagnose disease much better than we were able to do, you know, hundreds of years ago. There's just no question about it. If you have this situation, the political crisis in healthcare arises not in terms of the fact that we don't have the technology, but that we don't know how, or we have not set up the conditions to distribute that technology according to the need of the people. So what we're looking at is, why is it then, given the fact that there, you know, certainly in the United States, we can't make the case that we don't have a tremendous ability to provide health care, why is it that we don't get what we deserve? And I think then the question immediately arises that health care has become a business where the real underlying basic motivation is not to provide health care or not to provide medical care, but to provide the basis for profit making, to provide the basis for money making. And, you know, healthcare is one of the most successful in this current environment, which is not a very strong economic environment, a very successful industry. And again, we're not just talking about the hospitals and the clinics and the doctors' offices. We're talking about a whole complex of industries, biotechnology, certainly the pharmaceuticals, that feed and make money off of the sick. So we're talking about the fact that healthcare in this country, because it hasn't been guaranteed as a right, and because we haven't been able to guarantee a social system that guarantees that it's a right, we have a situation where what drives the process is the making healthcare a commodity. In fact, individuals that enter the system of healthcare themselves become commodities. They become the basis for money making. This is a profound change in a conceptual notion of what healthcare is and how to provide it. The result is that we're 28th in the world in infant mortality, we're 14th in the world in life expectancy, and we provide yet more money going through our taxes into the government to provide health care than almost any other country in the world. So it's not the lack of resources. And I think if you look at the Just Healthcare campaign, and again, what the Just Healthcare campaign is a national insurance program that would be a product of guaranteeing the government is held responsible for people's health care. It's like a public insurance fund where the money that the government collects goes actually into provision of care, and that it covers all kinds of care and so forth. And certainly we would encourage people to look on the website, because it really does describe the program well. But one of the things we've done with Just Healthcare is really show that there is money in the system to provide this care, that resources, the number one thing when I go out to talk to people about why they think we can't have the healthcare we deserve is they say, well, there isn't enough money to provide for both healthcare and education and housing and food. We have to choose. I think the number one thing that we have to do in this country is reject that idea. We don't have to choose. We can't choose between the basic necessities of life. And there is enough resource. That is not the problem. The problem is a political problem. The problem is, how do we guarantee that the system that has become an industry that's about the process of commodifying our bodies and our minds for healthcare, that it be restructured in such a way that we can really guarantee that healthcare is about providing care.
You're tuned in to People's Tribune Radio. Our guest today is public health nurse and member of the California Nurses Association, Joyce Mills.
Well, what systemic aspects of healthcare need to be adjusted in order to change this?
Well, that's both a simple and a difficult question. I mean, I think in the immediate sense, it's not a difficult question. Other countries who have a lot less gross national product than we do and have as just a complicated a population have been able to institute national healthcare systems that have guaranteed at least that the money that's coming out from the population goes back into healthcare. And what that does involve, certainly for us, is getting rid of the role of the insurance companies, the middlemen. It certainly involves getting rid of that aspect of administrative cost that goes to tremendous marketing and all the kinds of things that are necessary in a system where you have to buy and sell healthcare. So once you get rid of that fundamental basis, you're saving tremendous amount of money. And of course, providing services is partly really about resources. I mean, you have to have adequate resources. So in that sense, it's not a difficult problem. It has been done in every other, you know, major industrial country. So we can't say it's a difficult problem. It can be done here like anywhere else. The other side of that question, though, is that healthcare is an ongoing developing thing. I mean, there was a period of time when we didn't have real scientific medical care in the United States or in the world. The development of technology has applied to medical care and the development of our own understanding of healing and our own understanding of in a social system that's not just based on small families and villages and so forth, but it's really based on international economy and international society with, you know, multinational people and so forth, that there's a tremendous amount of knowledge and application of technology to science that still has to go on. I think we're really at the beginning stages of that, and that's something that is a bigger project. In a certain sense, national healthcare, just healthcare, is an incremental step towards a longer range project, but all of those things can be dealt with and have been dealt with. I mean, at every stage of development of technology and medical science, you have to have a corresponding development of the society to structure itself to guarantee the benefits of those advances are, you know, commensurate with, you know, what's needed in society. And so I think that that's an ongoing project that has got to be the business of both those professionals in the system, but also society as a whole.
Sounds like you're really talking about two things with just healthcare, and that is the technology in and the social in and how we view care. Do you have any other stuff you might want to speak to that?
We have to look towards a vision of what it is we're trying to accomplish. This is going to be a hard process just to get through this current phase we're in to guarantee that we have the political power and the ability to really guarantee just the basics, this question of just healthcare. The biggest question there is, of course, how's that going to get done? And I think when we say that it's not a resource problem, it's a political problem, what that immediately raises is, you know, what is the problem? Is it that there's some bad people out there that don't want American people to have health care? The question is, in our estimation, I think, we're not going to be able to get health care reform in the level that we need it by simply getting a few good legislators on board and meeting with them and convincing them of the necessity. I mean, certainly there are legislators that both at the state and national level who've already put in proposals. There's a Conyers proposal in the national level and Kucinich. There's proposals on many states for single-payer systems, some variants of a just healthcare system. But what we really need is a mass social struggle to guarantee not only that we can see the process through to this first stage of it, but that we as a people in the United States are taking responsibility for holding the government itself responsible for not just parts of this, not just some of what's needed, but the whole restructuring of a system that can really meet our needs. And again, on an ongoing level, not just what we can see now, but in 10 years, we'll see other things. It depends on a longer range view of what it is going to take to guarantee that we have this kind of response in this country. I mean, first of all, the fact that people are fighting for their health care is an objective thing. I mean, the grocery worker strike is just the most current example. People all across the country who have been and are increasingly demanding the right to health care. So that's not something we need to create or something that we need to wish for. That is happening, and it's happening in a relationship to a very frightening world situation where health care is one of a series of basic needs that people are demanding as their rights as human beings. And I think one of the things that holds us back from being able to contribute to that motion and to guarantee that it doesn't become simply a little policy discussion amongst experts or some other kind of thing is an ability to speak with our fellow American people about the fact that healthcare is a basic human right. This seems like a simple thing, and it's a slogan. And I know, you know, some tremendous work is going on around economic human rights. But what holds us back is this sense that somehow healthcare on a broad scale is not accepted as a basic human right. There's a historical reason for that. On the one hand, we've gone through whole periods of time where healthcare has been just a part of the caring in families for each other, where, you know, the majority of the process of caring in previous periods has fallen on women or fallen on somebody else in the family. But we have a society now where that's no longer sufficient, even though that still goes on, to meet the needs of people who are too young, too old, too sick to be able to care for themselves when they're ill or dying or what have you. And in this environment, in this period of history, we have to not only rely on our personal ability to care for one another, but we have to guarantee that that society functions to care for people. And in that relationship, caring and guaranteeing that people can survive and thrive in terms of their basic health is clearly a demand that we all are going to have to place on that society.
This is People's Tribune Radio. You just heard Oakland public health nurse Joyce Mills talking about the state of U.S. healthcare. More and more, healthcare is becoming a political force across the nation. On June 19, 2004, the Service Employees International Union, or SEIU, sponsored a nationwide campaign titled Bridging the Gap for Healthcare. Thousands across the country rallied, marched, and sponsored events spreading the word about the 44 million people who don't have healthcare in the United States. In San Francisco, hundreds of people marched across the Golden Gate Bridge to rally at Crissy Park. Our Bay Area correspondent Steve Miller was there and brings us voices from this historical event.
Could you give us your name, please, and why you're here today?
My name's Ray Kwan. I'm a BART mechanic, and I'm here today because every union is fighting the healthcare issue, and every union is caught in the squeeze of rising healthcare costs. So I'm here to publicize the fact that we need a single-payer system in this country. That'll put a lid on these costs and the greedy insurance companies and big healthcare companies.
What do you think it's going to take for us to really get a single-payer system?
Well, I don't think it's going to be electing Bush or Kerry. Something's going to have to give. You know, my mom had a heart attack last year, and the bill was up into six figures. And if she didn't have insurance, how could people pay for stuff like that? And yet, the healthcare companies don't care, and the insurance companies don't care, because in the end, it's the people that get stuck paying the bill. And I think until the people rise up and force the issue, nothing's going to change. And that's why I'm out here today. I'm hoping that this will draw at least some attention to this issue.
Do you have a vision of a different kind of healthcare system than what we have right now? What would it look like for you?
I think a lot of other countries have a system where you could go into any facility you wanted, get your health care. That should be one of the functions that the government takes care of. I would rather see my tax dollars go for that than dropping bombs in Iraq.
Please tell us your name and why you're here today.
Well, I'm here because I'm a worker and I'm very disturbed about the direction of our society. And boy, universal health care. I mean, and I am a vocational nurse, and every day I hear stories that just, hurt your soul.
It seems like kind of an obvious thing for a free and civilized nation to have is health care and protection for all its citizens, too. So I'm just supporting, everyone.
My name's Carrie. I'm from San Francisco.
Why are you here today?
I'm here today because I personally don't have health care at all. My work doesn't provide it for me. And I've noticed that no one has good health care anymore. Like, everyone is paying out their ears for health care. And it's just ridiculous. It's a service that is available, but you have to pay so much for it that no one can get any of the services that they should, except for the rich people who can afford to pay for it. And I think that the government could definitely provide health care for everyone. We have enough money, we have enough resources, enough doctors, enough nurses, everything. So I really think that the people need to do stuff to get it. And stuff like this really helps to get it out there that it's possible.
Honestly, the system I'd prefer would be something similar to what Canada has. I have some friends from Canada. She has great health coverage. Actually, even in San Francisco, she does. So it carries over to other countries.
Well, certainly in this country, it's difficult to get anywhere quickly relating to spending of monies and so forth. So certainly we're going to have to work very hard at the local levels, the local government, and try to expand it throughout the country itself.
It needs absolutely to be changed. It's getting to be where it's exorbitant to try to keep it because it costs so much, and a lot of people aren't able to have any health coverage because of the high cost.
I've seen friends recently graduate from college, have health problems, and don't know what to do. I've seen family members who've lost jobs and just can't go get health care.
I'm here to support the movement to fix the healthcare system in this country, which is definitely broken. It's a shame what's going on. I think a universal healthcare system is what I'd like to see. And it's going to take massive organization. It's going to take, support on all levels, both at the grassroots level as well as at the higher institutional levels, the medical companies, the insurance companies, government, local, state, federal politicians, labor. I mean, everybody, and guess what? We're all involved in this, so I think it's gonna happen. It's on the horizon.
The community needs to be educated that this is going on, and they need to be aware. Politicians need to know that it's important to have health care, and it's one of the primary issues, especially around this presidential election. We want to make this a number one issue.
I think health care is an important issue because it really affects one's quality of life. There are many people who have to sacrifice even meals in order to pay for health care. And then there are people who are not covered, which affects all of us. I believe that we need a universal health care. It doesn't make sense that we are the wealthiest nation on this earth, yet not everyone has health care.
But the fact of the matter is we're the only advanced country in the industrial world that doesn't have health care benefits for everybody. And it's a travesty. If you live in Canada or Europe, you have those kind of benefits. And we don't. And our health care standards lag behind those other countries. It's wrong.
Can you tell us why you're here, where you're from, and your name, please?
Okay. My name is Juanita Cavazos, and I'm from Merced, California. And I'm here with the Just Healthcare Labor Party. And I'm an active member to see that everyone should have healthcare coverage. So I'm here to demonstrate and speak out to public. I myself am a healthcare provider. I'm an LVN nurse. I see the ins and outs of everything in the healthcare field. It's unjust that we have to be without health care. I have family members who don't have health care coverage, and it's a crying shame. And it breaks my heart to see that there's many of us who don't have health care. This is what it's all about today, bringing awareness to our government to change things, make a difference, and to bring attention.
Do you think there's a lot of sentiment in Merced area for a just health care program?
Yes, most definitely. The hospitals, we're down to one hospital now. We had Castle, we had Bloss Hospital, we had Castle Air Force Base, and the Mercy. They shut down Mercy Hospital. Now we're down to Merced Community. If you were to be there on the weekends, the emergency room is full. People are on the outside parking lot waiting to be seen. It's a crying shame. It breaks my heart to see this, that there's so many people, and yet we are down to one hospital. You have Atwater, Winton, Dos Palos, Chowchilla, Merced, all these areas for one hospital. This is ludicrous. It's outrageous. I am just horrified that the day any of my family members have to be seen in an emergency situation, I might be that John Q. If I'm put in that situation, or my family members are put in that situation, God forbid that that should happen.
As somebody who works in the healthcare industry, you must have an idea about a different way to do things and how to run things differently.
We have a solution. We have solutions. You know, people, it's doable. It's a win healthcare system. It's doable. They do it in Canada and Europe, and everyone has a health plan. Everyone can be seen, you know, when you're ill from birth to death. That's our human right. That's what we want here for United States people, all Americans.
That's it for People's Tribune Radio. People's Tribune Radio is brought to you by the League of Revolutionaries for a New America. The League advocates for a cooperative society where healthcare is not a commodity to be bought and sold. Instead, healthcare would be a universal human right granted to all. If you would like some of our other print and media resources, call us toll-free. Our number, 1-800-691-6888. One more time, 1-800-691-6888. Also, if you can, visit us on the web at www.lrna.org. I'm Kenny Shook. On behalf of the League of Revolutionaries for a New America, join us next time for People's Tribune Radio.